You are now listening to the greatest podcast on planet Earth, Sports Cypher Podcast, where we diagnose, debate, and dissect sports. Cypher up.
Jersey stand up and I'm in the building.
What's good, y'all? This is Ricardo, a.k.a. Maximum, a.k.a. Cardo, a.k.a. the guy with all the a.k.a.s. You are now tuned in to the Sports Cypher. Let's go.
They saved the best for last. This is Blaine, the ace of spades. And we're here to give the people what they want. More of me.
Welcome to another episode of the Sports Cypher Podcast. The guys are back. We have Blaze, Ricardo, Jersey, and Buddy. We are here.
What's happening?
What's good, folks?
Sports Cypher here via also on any platform, podcast platform to hear us on, and also on Dodge Radio. Check out Dodge Radio, people. It's awesome.
Shout out to Dodge Radio.
Shout them out. Man, what's up, man? Y'all good, man? I'm when I came back from my cruise, caught a cold, trying to bounce back. So what y'all up to, man?
That boy drank the water in Mexico, came back with a cold.
Revenge.
If I would have came back 40 pounds lighter, I just would have been
not the liquid diet.
I'd have been doing a number three all weekend.
I think
what happened was it was from 85, a terrible storm came. 40 degree weather. I packed up just for warm weather. That was short sleeve. It's drizzling, wind blowing, 40.
Right, you from New Orleans? You only got but one sweatshirt. Right, you ain't used to that.
Man, I'm even on the park. Bro, what you talking about? I remember Ricardo like, we come to New York, bring your big coat. I'm like, what big coat?
Right. I was like, you right. What you need a big coat for?
Wow. That's well said.
The coat is in New Orleans.
We're going to Maryland. We're going to Baltimore. I said, yo, it's going to be cold out there, man. Bring your big coat.
Yo.
Big coat. I got a sweater with a thermal lining inside of it. Man.
Oh, let's get into those sweaters. So.
It's a hoodie too. It's a camouflage hoodie.
I like that. Edge. Very apt.
Yep. But let's get into this. Rest in peace out here, man. Let's start off with Don Gullett, 73 years old, was a former pitcher of the Cincinnati Reds and the New York Yankees. We have Andreas Brainy, 63 years old. He brought a championship back in 1990 to Germany.
Their soccer team?
The soccer team. Yeah. He was a really good soccer World Cup. Yep. And then thoughts and prayers are with the people injured and died at the Chiefs parade where there was a shooting and everything there.
Rest in peace. Didn't Travis Kelce donate like $100,000 to the families?
Same thing with Taylor Swift. Yeah,
Taylor Swift.
$100,000 each.
Okay.
I've actually heard people complaining about that on social media, which is amazing to me.
What?
Oh, no. They have way more money. Is that all they could? I'm like, wait a second. Wait. How much did you donate to these people, first of all?
Not even $5.
Right.
Equivalent. You didn't even do that.
Right. These people are nuts out here.
Right. And more details on it. Police Chief Stacey Graves said the total number of victims is 23, including Lisa Lopez Galvin, who was killed. The 22 people injured ranged between 8 and 46, and half of the injured was under the age of 16.
Yep.
Crazy.
The victim including 8 critically hurt and 7 in critical condition. But they have detained 2 juveniles, but they also arrested 2 men that was the perpetrator of pulling the guns and shooting, and one actually involved with the death of the young lady that died as well. So,
wow. Yeah, she's a DJ. She was a DJ.
Yep.
it's kind of make you a little nervous to go to any kind of large gathering. You're like, you know.
Yeah.
I remember for a while, I had a friend that, like, they refused to go to the mall. They're like, nah, I ain't going to no mall. I'm good. Order my clothes offline.
Yeah. And that's like the sad part, because this was something we celebrating, and two dudes just got into it, put out a gun. One actually, the one who was putting out his gun second for the first dude who put a gun was the one that shot the lady and killed her, and the midst of them two trying to shoot at each other. Even though they did wind up hitting each other as well, but they still hurt a lot of the people in the process as well. So
it always that's all it always happens.
Open carry state. Anyway,
you can't.
It's open carry state.
I believe so. Missouri. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. So, our next topic, man. Oh, this is gonna be a bad mama jamma right here. Iowa's Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark set the women's Division I scoring record with 3,528 points, passing Kelsey Plum. Also, the night when she passed Kelsey Plum, she beat Michigan, dropped 48 points, the most in Iowa history, with 13 dimes. And she shot her signature shot, three-point shot from the logo, which is about 6 to 8 feet behind the three-point line, which she tends to hit at a lot of home games.
She's pretty nasty.
Look at this young Steph Curry.
Bro,
Damian Lillard hitting shots.
Well, I can't wait to see her in the WNBA, boy.
Jeez. Yeah, arguably the best offensive player in women's college basketball history. Only person with a 30-point triple double in back to back games in either men's or women's college.
She might be the best offensive talent. Just. Period coming out of college, not even just women's basketball.
Maybe. Maybe.
And that's no hyperbole. That may be actually 100% facts right there.
I had one quick question. Yes. In the NBA All-Star game, do they still do that skills challenge when they pair up an NBA player with a WNBA player? Because I used to love that competition they used to
do. Well, they had a battle, a three-point battle between Steph.
Between the WNBA players?
Yeah, Steph Curry and
okay, because I didn't remember it just being three. I remember it was like a whole little
thing, but I
could be misremembering though. Yeah,
no, they used to do
like that. Dribbling.
Teammates, but it was like a woman NBA player with two NBA teammates, and they had to go through the dribble part and bounce the ball through this.
Yeah, and the shooting part.
Shoot,
it was nice. I liked it. Yeah,
they still had that, but it's a little different now.
Different. Okay, cool.
Of course, I didn't see none of it, but
neither did I. It's all good,
though.
Yeah. She gave Steph all she could handle. He could handle.
Who was that?
He won though.
Yeah,
he won though.
That's what I'm saying. But she gave him a good.
Yeah, but we can't. They can't remember who the she is. Exactly.
I think her name is. Is it? Man, I'm thinking.
Give me one second. I'm about to find out. Give me one
because
Steph won by 3 points.
26-29, I believe it was. I watched the highlights.
Who did Stephen Curry have a 3-point contest?
Is she a Brianna too? Because I know, you know, I'm obviously thinking Brianna Stewart, but it ain't Brianna Stewart because she's not a 3-point shooter like that.
And it's not. Oh, because it has to be somebody from who plays on a California team, right?
Sabrina. They're showing her last name.
Because I was thinking, was it the Sabrina who plays for the Liberty? Sabrina Ionescu, I think you pronounce
it. No, that sounds like it could be right. It was.
Yeah,
it
is. Yeah,
I don't think they have to play for a California team. I think that they had to play for. I think they have to be a
Sabrina
good enough three-pointer.
Sabrina
to
Ionescu,
not get embarrassed by the.
Yeah, Ionescu. Yeah, she plays for New York Liberty. Yeah, when you said Sabrina, that's what I figured it was. She's freaking awesome too.
Yeah, she is. She had a couple of 40-point games this year too. We had talked about two this year too. So, yeah, she's pretty awesome as well. Okay, so the next topic, man, sticking on college, but we're going to be on a college football aspect. So college football passes a 5+7 format, which That format consists of five the highest ranked conference champs. So you gotta be the conference champ and the highest rank. And then the next seven highest ranked teams, period, gonna make the playoffs.
How many conferences are in Division One?
Oh yeah, so then the five conferences.
Yeah, it's only the Power Five that they're talking about right now. The Power Five conference.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Only they could have did that a little bit earlier. Florida State people wouldn't have went crazy, right?
Hey, if that didn't happen, they wouldn't have done this probably. Or would have took a lot longer.
I know, because people have been talking about this 12-team playoff for years. Yes. Like, right, Jers? It's
unbelievable. At least three, four years, but change
happens incrementally. The older I get, the more I realize any other thought process.
And there usually needs to be, unfortunately, in certain circumstances, there used to be some kind of catalyst for, you know, I think that we're just in general, I think our country's very reactive more than proactive on a lot of things.
That's right.
So it wasn't until, you know, Florida State kind of got railroaded that people were like, okay, we think we should finally go ahead and do this now, you know. So
I think that this is one of the smartest things that college football has ever done. Mm-hmm. And here's why. The regular season is going to take on so much more of a
meaning
to the casual fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to add so much more to these rivalries, which are already, like, you know, they're very, very, you know, deep in steeped in tradition, and people care about them even when their teams aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's something on the line. Is it going to stop people from complaining that eighth team out is always going to complain, and so would the 18th team out? But it still is probably the most logical thing I've ever heard come out.
Right. Yep.
And I definitely agree with you, Jurors. Back when people would feel like, oh, I lost one game, now I'm not in the running for the championship. No, you're still in the running for the playoffs. Right. So make sure you don't lose that second game now. Mm. If you lose that second game, now you may be falling to 14 or 15 and You might be missing out the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, so. And dudes, you're going to see less NBA. And this combined with NIL deals is going to have people staying a little longer in college and thinking maybe we could get hot enough to make the playoffs and run and have a run to the championship. Mm-hmm. And sitting out less, because a lot of people, you know, these guys, they hurt their pinky toe, and hey, listen, I can't knock a million.
Or like Florida State did, they realized they wasn't the championship.
Yeah,
like half their team, like, I'm not playing. I'm going to NFL. I'm not doing this. If they feel like they have something to play for, now they might, like, okay, I'm gonna play this playoff game now. Like, you can see some of the more better players now.
Right,
so, right. But speaking of college football, EA Sports. They are offering college football players $600 because they're bringing back their college football game franchise. It have not been around since, I believe, 2010.
So I never knew it was away for that long.
I didn't know it was away.
Yeah, it was away for a while.
Wow.
And so players will receive, if they opt in, $600 and a copy of the video game for free for a line name, image, and likeness. To be used.
They should get more than that.
Now, Blaze, it's funny you say that.
I feel mixed on this, actually.
Blaze, you say you should get more than that.
$600, bro.
It's $600 to 12,000 players.
That's right. Thank you. That's why I'm with Cam on this one.
That's why I'm like, bro.
Are they using every single team, every single college team?
Yes, anybody can opt in. They didn't say
actively on the game. 134 college teams is actively on the game. And my whole thing is like, how are they literally going to make money if they give it away this, I don't know, because the game is $70 per game.
Well, that $70. Don't, to me, that doesn't count, because, you know, they're only making the game once. That's not, it's the,
but they will
get
royalties, so, and as long as they're on the game, they will continue to get paid. They say that in the article.
Oh, they get royalties? On, uh-huh. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
so. Yep, they get royalty. If they transfer another team, as long as they're on the active roster, they're getting royalty. Now, if they get cut, you no longer get royalties or nothing. You have to actively be on the team.
How much is the royalties?
You keep getting the $600, I guess. It's a percentage of sales. All I saw in the article, they said it would contend.
Royalties just really depends on how much of the game is sold. So.
It's like, okay, because it's like stock dividends, if you think about it that way. Like, yeah. It's like a.
Because they said no matter how the game do on the article, they said it will still receive their royalties and their $600. So I don't know. That's why I just.
I would like to know how much the NFL gets from EA Sports for Madden. I would like to see per team how much they get because they got.
I don't know. In the article, they say they actually got in contact with EA Sports with Madden and other games for other major sports to kind of come up with this this type of price they're willing to give to the players and stuff.
And in the NFL and major, professional sports, it's a little licensing. Different.
Yeah, NFL license. You're talking about
not even that. No, it's that they make deals with the players' union, not individual players. So, for example, if you ever played games in like the early 2000s and the 90s,
and Jordan wasn't on there,
that's because Jordan wasn't in the NBA Players Association. So they would have to strike a deal with him separately. Kind of like Barry Bonds. Like, Barry Bonds wasn't part of player union,
I don't know if you guys remember the game 1-on-1. Do you remember 1-on-1? Was
talking about Magic and Larry?
It was Larry and Magic first, and then it was Jordan and Larry. That they had to pay those guys personally. They had to make a deal with them personally.
Yeah.
I remember on Live, it was never Jordan. It was always roster player.
He looked
like Jordan, but he wasn't 6'6". He was 6'4". Then he wasn't 2'20". Yeah. He was like 2'10". He wasn't
because they didn't pay Jordan.
He was 24.
Yep, it wasn't until 2K when Michael Jordan was on a basketball game.
What was that baseball game, though?
Jordan was on his own. He was on NBA Showdown for the Super Nintendo back in 93-92. I remember that. He was on NBA Showdown, and he wound up being on the Kobe Bryant courtside.
I remember the baseball game. They had to pay that guy a lot of money.
Ken Griffey baseball, you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Ken Griffey was the man in the 90s, like marketing-wise.
Yeah, they had to pay him a lot of money for that game.
So, Carter, tell me why you feel mixed about this a little bit with the $600.
For what you said, I mean, you're talking about 12,000 people. Like, that's just kind of 12, a lot 000, to split yeah. the. That's a yeah, lot that of is ways a lot. To split the pie, you know. So,
but I didn't know it was all every single
130. Yep. As long as they opt in, they say it's going to be up to 85 players on each team. As long as they all opt in, there's 134 active. Every team that's part of the D1 or either maybe some D2 schools as well. It's 134 colleges going to be on the game.
And listen, great for the dude that's never going to even get in a college game. Like the backup D tackle who gets to sit hit the starter and play himself in the game.
Hey, Jersey, the
I promise you, Jersey,
the long snapper.
I used to play college football. I used to always make myself as a imagine you own a game and now you make yourself the starter of your own team. You
and that is forever. Bro. You're
that's
there.
That is dope. Bro. Yeah. That is dope. I can't lie, bro. Yeah. this blue tip with DN, I went against in high school, he wound up getting the scholarship to Georgia Tech. I used to always play with him. He was like, man, that was the toughest dude I had to block in my life, man. He was a complete monster. He was in the top 12 of Louisiana Blue Chippers when we graduated in 2001. This dude was a handful. He was 6'3".
Did he play for Isidore Newman?
No, he played for Edna Carr. He played for Edna Carr, one of my district rival at the time.
I never knew the first name of the person who the school's named after was Isidore.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's a heck of a name. Boy,
I went to Isidore. Lord Beaconsfield Landry.
What was his name?
Lord Beaconsfield Landry, LB Landry.
Man alive. They really put Lord in there.
Yep, Lord.
That's crazy.
Who was it named after?
That's the guy.
That's the guy, Lord's Beaconsfield Landry.
Yeah.
See, in New York, they have like bases.
They have a Beaconsfield in Canada.
Wonder if it's the same family. Or that was his first name, Beaconsfield. Wow, the names, bro.
And Blaze, one more part about the $600 so you can get your point through, then we'll move on to the next subject. you say you feel like it wasn't enough at the end of the day, or you feel like
no, different? No, but yeah, but now I know. You said it's 12,000 people. Gotcha. Yeah, that is that's a lot of money.
Okay. All right, we're about to move on to the next topic. An NBA All-Star game, give you all a recap on the score. The East had 211, the West had 186, and Damian Lillard was the MVP with 39 points. How y'all feel about that?
I don't care one way or the other.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I mean,
I saw a lot of articles saying this is one of the worst All-Star games ever.
That's like, what I read, too.
Tons of articles.
211 points, man. That's... And you know, the All-Star game was always high, but I remember it was like 150s, 140s, 160s. But when you're scoring 211 points, I'm like, so you're pretty much having a layup line for 2 hours?
Yeah, I heard this was horrible.
Now, this I'm kind of torn about this. LeBron knew he had a sore ankle. He went out there and played 14 minutes, right? But, you know, he wanted to do it for the fans, but he kind of aggravated his ankle. He's not playing tonight. So he kind of aggravated his ankle. And I'm like, bro, you've been having this ankle problem all year. I'm like, you showed your face, bro. You have 20 years of service, bro. LeBron, you could have just played like three like show off minutes.
Man, one possession and then went back to the bench.
And then went back to the bench, yeah. Bro. And now you hurt your ankle more, and now you out in real regular season games.
Oh, stand-up dude, though. So.
He is a stand-up guy. He do it for the people, man. But I'm kind of mixed on that. I'm like, they'll be okay on this one, bro. Like,
yeah, but that's not why the game was bad, though, man. The game has been trending this way for ever. Like, just the players just don't care enough to put the intensity into guard anybody. So,
right.
No, continue, sir.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, to me, baseball is the only all-star game worth watching, where it's the closest to a real game, because you can't fake swing, you can't fake throw a pitch. Like, when you throw 100 miles per hour, you just throw 100 miles. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
I feel that it's inexcusable what they did. Like basketball, they should do a little better, because they did do a little better. They did. Listen, it has.
Yeah,
to,
we
all knew, and I was okay. I've been, and I would be okay with the playing or the old formula of back when I used to watch the All-Star game. Three quarters, we're just having fun, and fourth quarter, we go hard.
You locked in.
I agree. Most of my time, I agree with you.
And now it's not even that. Football, come on. We can all understand why. Like, there's no reason.
Correct. Like 90% of the people pick don't even go. Like, you get the backup to the backup of the backup.
And Gardner Manchu made the Pro Bowl this year.
Right.
That just tickled me.
You get that. So, but, like, I don't know. This basketball thing, they should do better. That's why I say, look, good for LeBron leading by example, because the All-Star weekend should be something. And what we got out of this, I know you'll get to the other events, so I'll let you get to those if you were.
Oh, what events? Just throw names in.
The dunk contest and the 3-point contest.
Oh no, I wasn't going to get to.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, and let me say this: that's a case in point. The fact that we would even think about two of the premier All-Star. Historically, I'm talking about in any sport, period. And we were just not even gonna talk about it. And nobody would have been like, oh, I don't get why you didn't talk about it. There needs to be, I think that LeBron is probably trying to, there needs to be incentive to like make these events better.
I will say this though, and I could be wrong, but there's only so many ways you can dunk a basketball. You know, like, this thing has been going on about 40 years.
You think you've seen it all. There's nothing new that can shock you, right? You've seen it all.
Like, people can do what's been done better, I guess, but I don't know the lot. I mean, when old boy jumped over the car, although he jumped over the hood, not the hood, the roof,
and not the roof.
That was still pretty cool. You know, I liked it when Nate Robinson dunked over Dwight Howard. Spuds Webb. He dunked over.
No, he dunked Nate Robinson. Dwight Howard. When he had Nate Robinson dunked over Dwight Howard when he had all green. That. He had a green kryptonite suit and Dwight Howard had the Superman cape.
But he told Dwight Howard to duck his head.
So he wasn't standing straight up. He ducked his head a little. So he jumped over like a 6'9" instead of 6'11" Dwight.
But I thought Spud Webb was cool because Spud Webb is the short was I, the, short dude, time, the shortest person ever to win. I think he was Alexa. How tall is Spud Webb?
Yeah, he was 5'7".
Oh, okay.
Spud Webb is 5'7"
Okay, and I think Nate Robinson is the same.
5'9", I believe.
Oh, he's, yeah, okay.
About 5'9". Yeah, yeah, he played cornerback at Washington University before.
He did, yeah.
I think that it's more, it's not really just about the dunks. It's about who's dunking. Like, you still, like, right. People want to watch, like,
all-star
dudes. You know,
that's true.
Dunk.
Yeah, and, like, and Jaylen Brown is
that's just not. I'm just about to break Jaylen. Yeah. I said, Jersey, we got to give Jaylen Brown credit. He was the first all-star in years to put his head in the ring to try to.
And I heard he was horrible.
They said he was very mad.
I heard he was horrible, but I heard the judges. And now that you said that, now I know why. They were, like, wondering why the judges were, like, they were like, yo, why are they favoring him so much? And this that must be why.
Because he was the biggest. But, you know,
but when I think of a dunker, I don't think of him, but I just I understand what he was trying to do. That's why I give him props.
Oh, okay. Dunker, I guess you. I get you.
Yeah, but wasn't it a guy from the G League that won?
Yes, Matt McClung. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Again, back to back now.
Back to back. Yep. Yep. Yeah. What was you about to say, Max?
Oh, I was going to say, there does need to be a name factor, but there's been a lot of people who, I mean, Zach LaVine, when he won, he didn't have a name yet. He was just some young kid on Minnesota. I don't even think he was starting at the time. You know, like.
Yeah, but he had a lot of hype about him, though. He was hyped up. Like, even in Minnesota.
It was hyped up just because he was an athlete. But I mean, I didn't watch it just because I'm like, oh my God, you know, Zach LaVine is going to be, you know, like it wasn't, it's not.
But a lot of people did because they was into him. Like, he used to have these big old padunka dunks during games, even though he wasn't no star. But I do get where you're coming from. I kind of feel a little bit in between, but like, because I was there for the Zach LaVine before he tore his ACLs twice.
And I think Vince Carter won as a rookie.
He was Vince Carter.
Vince Carter with this shit coming out of North Carolina.
Vince Sadden.
But I'm just saying this. You know,
yeah. You talking about rookies, it wasn't that dude.
Yeah, that I mean, like even just for example, except unless Victor Wembanyama was in the dunk contest,
but he wanted to be.
That's just funny because I say he can't even jump because he might miss the jump over the backboard or something. But.
He said it's on his bucket list to do the 3-point and the dunk contest.
Oh. Boy, Jersey, when you say he had mixed up LeBron, KD, and Rudy Gobert, bro, he had a triple-double one night, and I put it in the group, bro, he had 29 points, 15 rebounds, 10 blocks, 7 turnovers in 28 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 turnovers.
Man, he almost had that rest, but quadruple-double.
I don't think his three-point shooting is quite there yet on that Steph Curry type. I mean, he can get there, though. I mean,
yeah, but didn't
he's not Steph Curry good.
Didn't Leonard win the 3-point? I thought he won the 3-point.
Kyrie Leonard.
Damian Leonard.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, Damian Lillard got busy.
For my money, the most clutch. What's that basketball?
What's that rapper name? Was it Gorilla? Gorilla.
Glorilla,
she had a picture with him, and that's the big thing that was on Instagram. She had a picture with him, and she said, "Who does this dude belong to? Which woman does this dude belong to? Because I want him.
That's funny.
And you can't fight me."
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we about to move on to a little baseball. So I got a question for y'all, man. Is Mike Trout wasting away with the Angels? So it came out that Mike Trout said that he doesn't want to be traded from the Angels, but who knows what the future holds? He's been telling them to bring in free agents, and he wants to win there, and he wants them to build around him. So, what do y'all think? You think him still holding his breath for free agents is going to happen, or he's just wasting away on a hope and a will? What you think, Ricardo?
He's wasting away. And I'm going to tell you why. If the money's the same, they're going to the Dodgers. That's it. Like, it's really hard.
Like his teammate? Like his teammate? Like
yes, his former teammate? Like
cold-blooded. Yes.
No, but, hey, man, look. Los Angeles Angels is not the same as the Dodgers. The Dodgers actually play in Los Angeles County, right? The LA Angels play in
Anaheim.
In, which is what? Mm. How far is that? Like 2 hours away?
Yeah. No, it's like an hour and a half. That's
hour
Disney.
And a half?
That's no. Disneyland.
Yeah, that's where Disney is. Yeah, so I'm like.
Yeah, they play in Anaheim, Jared.
Different vibe. Put it like this. Nobody, no person who lives in Anaheim is like, yeah, man, I live in LA. Right? Like, they're like, right. I live in Anaheim. I live in Pasadena, whatever. Like, they don't. Way different.
But how much is he getting from the Angels? He's getting
like,
a lot of
like $400 million, I think.
Yeah, yeah, $400 million, right?
Money,
yeah.
But man, you got they don't want to bring in. It was an article. I don't know if you guys saw it about his teammate from Washington, Anthony Rendon. He said he really doesn't care to play baseball. He just do it for a living. So
see,
no,
that's not fair.
I'm gonna go into that. Oh, with okay. the head he did say that. He said now he's a little bit older. Now he got a family. He care more.
No, that's not what he said.
So he said that. Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Jersey. Go ahead.
He said his perspective on baseball has not changed at all his whole career. That it has never been his top priority. That his faith and his
family,
come first, and that's even more so now that he has had 4 kids. But that it is still very important to him because he's the type of person that, and there are many. I've worked with people like this. I would strive to be more. His job is important to him in and of itself because it's his job and it's very important to him. That's why he got to where he is. And he shows up and he said, I'm here. I'm here and I'm all in. So I'm not saying that, but there are things that come before baseball. And if I had to, I would leave baseball for them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I've seen this comments kind of getting taken out of context a lot, and people being. I'm like, I don't think if a person say I put my faith and family above my job is that crazy. It's maybe not what crazy. The fanatic want to hear, but it's the reality for many athletes. Yes.
Curtis Martin didn't even like football.
Yep,
he did sure not. Didn't. He actually didn't like football.
Man, I don't even think, like, Barry Sanders was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I mean, we see it all the time, right?
Yeah, like Kevin Mowry didn't like football. He was still a Hall of Fame center.
It's a job. Not everybody who does accounting, not everybody, every social worker likes. So you might just be good at something and you have to, you know how you can earn a living. Now, this isn't, I don't think that, like I said, I don't think this is the case with Anthony Rendon. I think he likes baseball.
He didn't say he did. Yeah, he didn't say I don't love baseball or I don't like baseball. He said, I just have, it's not my first priority is all. He said, right. I'm like, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, but I expect that with any player, like, baseball shouldn't come before their family or nothing like that. And that's
why I think people are going crazy for no reason. Like, I'm like, bro, like, you see the headlines, you know, Rendon doesn't put baseball first. And I'm like, what? You know, like, but when you read the whole article, it's.
Yeah, now I do remember the family thing, but I didn't think that was the main, for me. That's not what I thought was the main thing of it, because I'm like, well, maybe it is. Maybe I just was just assuming that who would question baseball over his family? So I kind of put that to the side when I went in and I was more focused on the part. He was like, baseball just a job to him. That's the part I was just focused on when a lot of times, you know, a lot of people felt like his injuries over the last 2 years, him wasn't really trying to rush back or trying to beat up for the squad or something like that. But I never once took encounter that, oh, people really, really are mad that he got his family first. That never came in my perspective to hear y'all talk about. Like, I read in the article, but I was like, who's stupid enough to be like, put this over your children? Like,
No. I don't think that's the way they, because look at this. There's plenty of people, I mean, like I said, there's plenty of people at that level, at any level of, like, let's just say, like, business people, professional, whatever the highest level of anything, they absolutely put their job on par with their, on the same par as their family.
Or higher than. How many people higher than? How many people on Wall Street, they're like, nah, yes. My family's like second or third. Not with their words, but with their actions, you know.
With their actions. A nanny takes care of their kids, and there's definitely true of,
well, I think it's all based on, you know, the military, like how they used to say God, country, family, you know, that's Marines, you know, or God, Marines, you know, country and, first. So that's how they come out. They come down. They're comparing it to.
These people are fanatics, man. Like, they think that if you play a sport, if you're a professional athlete, you need to care as much as I care sitting at home.
Right.
And that's just not the case. I'd say the majority of professional athletes don't feel the same way. And it's different. And this is in not even just professional sports. Like, I work in a hospital, right? So, generally speaking, you call the hospital, something might be wrong with you, right? And I've had people say, wow, Ricardo, you don't have any empathy. You just sound like you don't care. I'm like, I care. I really do. It's just that if I gave the same level of emotional currency, I wouldn't be having this job. I'd have a mental breakdown. You know, like...
You got to keep it professional. Try to keep calm while they go.
You have to detach yourself from certain things
It's called compassion fatigue is the professional term for it.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I'm going to put that on the repertoire. Compassion fatigue.
Yeah.
And you know, I've literally had people criticize me on that. I'm like, you just don't know unless you work here, bro. Like, it's just different. You know.
Okay. Well, definitely feel a lad. So basically what y'all saying, all three of y'all saying that the Yankees should go ahead and trade for Mike Trout. He should play for the Yankees. That's what y'all saying?
I don't want him.
Oh, you don't want him? Oh, that means he should go to the Mets and play for the Mets? That's what you're saying, Jared?
I it's hard for me. Like, that's a difficult one. I don't really want him, but I do want him because he's
Jersey boy. Dude.
And
My brother
hung out with him. He said he was like such a class act. So
never heard anyone say anything.
So let me go to the last
one.
So Rays can you
to trade him to San Diego for the San Diego Super Padres?
No, they would pay him. I don't know. Would the Yankees pay him $400 million?
I don't think they would trade for that.
To pay $400 million to our runner. Mm-hmm. We got to work on
San Diego pays for everybody.
And he has a congenital back thing. I'm like,
bro. Ever since you told me about that, bro, he ain't never been healthy with that back for quite a spell, bro. Ever since you told me about that back injury, man.
He's the greatest player of our generation. I think.
Well,
it depends on your generation starts.
See, what the cat name was for St. Louis, who was there for
Albert
Pujols.
Pujols, maybe a little younger.
Mike Trout's better than Albert Pujols.
Okay, Albert Pujols was great.
What about Big Papi?
Not even close.
Yeah,
Mike Trout.
Big Papi is one of the greatest branding.
Now he was clutch. But the thing is, Mike Trout is one of the best center fielders in the game, like offense and defense. He's a five, and he stole bases at one time.
He's in the conversation. He's in the conversation, at least for the greatest player of our generation.
That's awesome. So no hope that the Angels will build around this man before it's time for him to retire.
I think they try. I feel like they've been trying to do things.
The Angels have always tried. They just fail. Vernon Wells. They gave Vernon Wells $100 million. He played for 2 years, got hurt. Vernon Wells used to play for the Toronto Blue Jays. And then he got
Blue Jays?
Yeah, there was Albert Pujols. They signed Albert Pujols. He gave him 2 good years, then flamed out. They signed... Josh Hamilton went back on the coke,
Oh, no. Look at all the people. And they played these guys These are superstars when they signed up.
Absolutely.
Josh Hamilton. All of them have failed. They really tried. They put the money in. Rendon is another one. They gave that man over $100 million. Like, they're not, you know.
Yeah, he's making bread.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're trying. Okay.
All right, y'all. What's the best fit for Blake Snell? I heard the Yankees
made him an offer. The
front runner.
I don't know if they're the front runners, but they do have an offer on the table. I can't say that.
What I saw, the 2-year, $87 million, that was a real offer?
That's not an offer. They're saying that one of the reasons why the Yankees are shying away from him is because that was an example they used. They said, well, let me shut up, because I didn't see a 2-year, $87 million offer on the table.
Yeah, I saw some from
yeah, because that's not the number I saw. What I saw was like 5 years, like $136 from passing, million or something.
Yeah,
like
I saw
that.
A 2-year, $87 from passing, but I didn't know what it was. So I just didn't put it in the group.
Yeah, I know if I'm the Yankees, I'm just like, I know that's probably what he wants, to have the higher annual value in less years. I'm like, if I'm the Yankees, I want a 5-year commitment from you, but
you want a 5-year commitment from Snell?
Yeah. Or at least 4 years with an option for a fifth.
Oh, all right. Absolutely. I thought you probably want him on a short thing, knowing how up and down he's been over the last couple of years.
Two sides, though. I mean, I think that you want him on a long. Every pitcher is going to be, I mean, if you're up and down to the tune of two Cy Youngs in that time.
Yeah,
as great as he was with the two Cy Youngs, when he was down, his ERA was like 5.96. Like, it was down.
And that was when he was traded to San Diego.
Pitchers who aren't Jake, if you're not like a truly great pitcher, mm-hmm. that's just what it is.
I'll give you an example. Yes. I'll give you an example, buddy. Garrett Cole mm-hmm. won the Cy Young last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the year, his first year, his last year in Pittsburgh, his last 2 years in Pittsburgh. He had mm-hmm. like a 4 ERA. Like, he didn't become this guy consistently until he got to Houston. Like,
right.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes pitchers.
But he was also young. Ain't Blake Snell, in his 30s?
No, I don't think so, right?
Maybe.
Late 20s?
Late 20s. Yeah, 28-ish, 29-ish. Because he came up pretty young. Alexa, how old is Blake Snell?
Blake Snell is 31.
Oh, 31. Okay. 31. I'd give him four years with an option for a fifth. Yeah.
I'd give him five.
And that's except that there's going to be fall off in the last 2 years, probably. That's how you got to do with pitchers, man.
I think I'll be cool with the 2-year joint, I guess. I don't know.
So listen to this, though. So the Yankees mm-hmm. are over the luxury tax right now. If they signed him to a 1-year, $40 million contract
right.
with the penalties, they'd pay $80 million for that 1 year.
Okay.
That would be $190 million for 2 years, or $180 million for 2 years. I don't mm-hmm. think they're signing anyone to that.
So if you sign for 4 years, that'll be double that money, right?
Well, it's about the prorated thing, because if you sign them for, you can give them less money but spread out over more years. You see what I'm saying? So I think they'd rather pay him $30 million a year than $40 or $50 million a year and get that extra tax on there, but. He's the best pitcher on the market, but
things are about to get interesting, because you don't know if the Mets, and I hope they don't, by the way, but you don't know if the Mets are going to get in this now that Kode Senga is going on IL.
Yeah, he's going on IL.
I saw they say they're not rushing their young prospects up. So why you hope they don't, Jerz, that the Mets don't make that move?
We're not a World Series contender this year, and okay. I think that we have. I believe in our young pitching and free agency next year is really, really. I don't want to invest that kind of money into y'all should, because y'all can win it.
Mm-hmm.
He moves the needle for y'all. He moves the needle into us. We're for sure a playoff team that will maybe win a series and go home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Y'all can win the World Series.
Gotcha. Okay. Blake Snell. Let's go to the NFL. Blaze, I'm coming with you on this one, man.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Field, his trade talk heating up, Blaze. So what you think, bro? Is he going to be a Bear? Is he going to be a Steeler, Falcon? What you feeling?
How
you
I don't know. Every day is different. Every day there's rumors coming out. They're saying the Falcons want him. They think the Steelers want him. I honestly don't. He came out. He stopped following the Bears.
Yeah. He said he was just tied up all the trade talk around them. So he just.
I believe him, too.
He said he wants to stay with the Bears. He wants to stay there. He likes says it.
Chicago's lit.
Yeah.
That was his words. Chicago's lit.
And then he said, hold on. And the last thing he said, I heard that before I got on here. He was saying that he didn't want the thing about Atlanta, he's from there. So he would have a whole bunch, it'll be distraction of all the people that would want tickets and want to come, all his family members and friends and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's all over the place. I just got to wait.
Talk about sabotaging a trade opportunity.
I say that out loud. I'll be honest with you. You know what I get? You know what my takeaway in general from this year is with Justin Fields? I can tell you real quick. One, I really haven't heard a lot of people who I feel like are like as genuine when they speak to the media.
Same thing I was thinking, Jersey says
stuff that you believe. It all like fits his whole persona. He's a really expressive person. He's super emotive, and it leads me to my second thing. And y'all know I am pro. And I'm, by the way, that first thing makes me even more pro Justin Fields. I want to see him succeed. Me but too. Dude is. I wonder what his sign is because he is emo.
Alexa, when is Justin Fields' birthday?
He's a very emotional person.
Justin Fields was born on March 5th, 1990. Yeah. March 5th,
Pisces.
Told you. Yeah. Called it. I knew he was a water sign. He's so emotional. He's so emotional for a quarterback. Like, I mean, and what I mean is not what he feels, I mean what he expresses. Like,
right.
Others might feel that.
Right, emotive, like you said, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so emotive, and I don't know how that plays at the quarterback position.
And Blaze, this is my thing, man. I've been checking out some mock drafts, man. So far, a lot of the people that I like to follow and I respect have the Bears getting killed with. Like, I see nobody, like, saying the Bears. Like, it still happens. Yeah. You know, we talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I was telling you, I mean, I told y'all on the podcast, I was like, man, you just don't know about these GMs, bro. Like, same thing with coaching. It's not always rational GMing either.
Yeah, more and more, I agree with you. I think that he's going to be they're going to pick him. They're going to pick him and they're going to trade Justin Fields. I just want to know who Justin Fields is going to. Because there's all these rumors that there are rumors that Kirk Cousins might go to Atlanta because his wife is from Atlanta. There's all these rumors going on. It's just I hate when it comes to this.
And
it's
none
just
of those dominoes are going to drop till after the draft, right? Like,
yeah,
so we're just going to have to.
It's live.
And you know, my thing is, I don't fully know if they're going to take Kelly. I'm just going by just what I'm reading. But like Jurgis said, the closer you get to April, the more it's going to be Lions season.
Well, I say this. If they keep the pick, I think they're drafting Caleb Williams. I don't think there's any. Yeah,
100%.
If they keep the pick, that's the person. Like, I'd be shocked if they pick, if there was anyone else picked number one in this draft.
His ceiling is sky high. And let me say, we talked about this once on this podcast. I don't think that there's an irrational. I think both decisions are rational. Like, I would keep Justin Fields and trade that pick and get a bunch of stuff because I believe in him. But and he really wants to be the face of your franchise. And I'm just, but it's all good because Caleb Williams I understand why you swing for that ceiling.
I wanted to bring up one really interesting article I read. It was a paid article, so I couldn't share it. They were talking, yes, which I love. And they were talking about, they went back the last 12 years and analyzed teams that have traded up for a number three, one of the one through three spots and picked a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't looking
been nice, man.
I know. They've been talking about that for a while. That they
let me tell trading you, the trades, up, it's not the good. Team, the teams who make these trades lose more than they win. Like the teams who trade up lose way more than they win. Like,
oh man,
Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, that was.
Oh, cool. They traded up for him.
They traded up. They traded up to the number two or three spot. The Jets traded up for Sam Darnold.
What?
Yes.
They traded up for him.
This sounds crazy.
Did the Titans trade up for Marcus Mariota, or was I mistaken?
Wait,
somebody traded up for Jared Goff, didn't they?
Yes, but you know, Jared Goff was one of the few where you could say it actually worked out.
It didn't.
It didn't work out with his original team.
To mature to become
right. The but player. You know what? Because in the article they said he did take y'all to the Super Bowl, so you can't say it was a complete waste. Although he did.
Right.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. Eagles trade up for Carson Wentz. Okay. Yep, they trade up to the top three. What's the guy from the 49ers?
Trey,
the one who's on the Cowboys now.
Yeah, Trey Lance.
Yes, that was a trade. And there was another 49ers who quarterback who they traded up to get. I just can't remember who it is now.
Who else?
They said they probably said Hurts was a steal, right? Because that's what they were
second round quarterback.
Yeah, he was second round.
Oh man, it was a good article. I should have took notes on it, but it was very interesting to see.
Question, I don't know if we're allowed to do this on Dodge Radio, but how much does The Athletic cost, man? Every little snippet I read from them is so interesting. Like,
you can get an annual plan. I think it's $60 a year. Something like that.
They don't do that month to month. They don't do that.
They do. I just don't remember what it is. Yeah, actually, I do the month to month. I just can't remember what the price is. Yeah,
you just got that auto.
Oh no! Because I got like a Christmas sale, so I'm not paying the regular price. So I can't remember the regular price. Yeah.
They got some. They have some really, 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 really like.
I think I gave Buddy a subscription for his birthday one year.
Yeah, I was on it for a year. The next topic we have, guys.
Mm-hmm.
What's Dak Prescott worth? So, I forgot the the insider who says Prescott may reset the market with $60 million a year. Passing Joe Burrow, I think he's the highest paid quarterback with $56 million a year. So, how y'all feel about that? Dak maybe resetting the quarterback market. Cowboys cannot franchise tag him. It's in his contract. They cannot transitional tag him. Once he's done with his contract, after that, he can either resign him or he can go about his business. So he's going into his last year. So
we're definitely going to extend him. We have to extend him because we want to make a lot of moves right now. Jerry Jones said, I'm not worried about the future. I'm all in right now because he's like,
because he's
older than Biden.
He's 82.
Future? What future?
But if they pay him $60 million, how are they going to pay CeeDee Lamb and everybody else?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to bring your cap number down.
Yeah, him actually signing going to be better than what he's on right now because they would save us more money in the long run. Mm-hmm. But we can move a lot of money to signing bonus, which we can make a salary lower and give him a bigger signing bonus, which doesn't affect the cap.
So how much is he worth? He's worth it's zeros and ones a quarterback. He's worth whatever the neck he's worth.
He's worth
one penny more than Joe Burrow. Or
pretty much. Yeah, he's good enough to reset the market. And that's how quarterbacks ever. Hey man, if we had people like what's that guy's name from the
name of team.
The Falcons. Matt Ryan Matt Ryan was good. I'm not saying he was a scrub or anything, but I mean, at one time, he was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. He was. He wanted $100,000 more than what Rodgers was getting.
Yep, exactly. Right, and no one can ever say he's on even in the same league. Come on, technically he is, but he's not on the same level as Aaron Rodgers.
So, in a couple of years, what are they going to pay Patrick Mahomes? $80 million?
That's a Chiefs thing.
Yes, absolutely.
That's insane.
Yep. We got to realize,
but remember, the cap goes up every year, too.
But quarterbacks will be the bulk of their cap, and teams are going to have to make the cap.
You're paying one, you're paying one player 15% of your salary cap. So, I mean,
like when Joe Flacco, even right now, it's not a future thing. That's a now every year thing. Quarterbacks take up the bulk of the percentage.
No, I understand that. It's getting out of hand. I personally think it's getting out of hand because
but it's not gonna 60, change,
60 million. I argued for Dak being considered for the MVP this year because his stats were better than pretty much everybody. But, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, the guy can't get past the first round of the playoffs.
But the MVP not built off the playoffs. It built off the regular season.
Yeah, it's true. But, it's your fan base. You guys got to live with your fan. Give him 60 million.
I'll be hearing them on
other places. Your fan base is going to lose. Your fan base is going to lose their minds.
A couple of our friends that's Cowboys fans, Dak now worked the 60. And I was like, bro, who else out there? Who are we going to get?
Who gives you a better chance?
Y'all can work with Trey Lance, but we don't know what Trey Lance is. How are we going to make a Super Bowl run with a quarterback we don't know what he is?
And let me tell you, when a team gives up that kind of draft capital to move up and basically throw him to the wayside after three seasons, that's red flags for me. I can't remember that happening to too many teams, and the quarterback ended up being anything relevant.
Well, look at Goff. Goff, they threw him away, and the coach, they rebuilt them in over there.
I never felt like Goff Detroit. Was that bad. I just felt like
I never felt that he was that bad either.
I never thought he was good.
I remember the game that him versus Patrick Mahomes. And remember the highest score? It was they scored almost 100 points.
I remember that
It was a Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
It was a shootout. Man. And that game he played, I thought he was amazing. I always thought he was amazing. But then, the coach didn't like him. And he's gone. That's really what it boiled down to.
The coach didn't like him.
Didn't really like him. And I think that there are limitations to Jared Goff's game. Then they built around him accordingly with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam LaPorta. They're doing the things. I think there's not zero limitations to this. This guy isn't
right.
Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott's better than Jared Goff. And so
there
are people who complain about that.
Oh, I think so too. I think so too. It's just. Yeah. I know what's going to happen. You guys are going to be in a world of hurt because all your fans are going to be pissed.
I don't hear most of them because I'm not on social media. So
not for nothing. most Cowboy fans, and I say this as a Yankee fan, don't know anything about anything. Whenever you're a fan of an elite team, you have a lot of
casual thoughts.
Yeah, a lot of casual fans who are they're louder more than they are substantive.
This is a fact.
That's factual.
Trust me, I learned that when I used to go to the Charger games. I had a season tickets to Charger games,
right?
And we would be there, and we would have the ball. The Charger would have the ball, and these guys would be screaming. These fans would be screaming, no, keep your mouth. We had to tell them, keep quiet when
the goal line situation.
We almost got in a fight in the stands because Weston can't mess it up the snap count with all that noise. He can't deal with all that noise. So it was crazy.
Who was the quarterback at that time?
Well, it was
Drew Brees,
Philip Rivers.
Rivers is horrible at the snap count. If it's noisy, he's gonna mess up the snap count all the time. And these people will be yelling and screaming, LT. And we'll be like, and all the real guys that were season ticket holders would be like, shut up. And there'd be fights, and they would get upset because all the fans would stand up. We'd all stand up and say, just shut up. Shut up. You know?
The Chargers fan impression was everything there.
So I realized that, you know, there's two types of fans. Like there's the you know, the fly by night fans who come and they're like, oh yeah, LT. I'm like, shut up.
They don't
want
to be seen at the party. They don't even know who birthday it is.
Right.
Exactly. And it was a sport to just, you know, I used to hate going to, like, when people gave up their tickets, I would see them the next week, and I'm like, why'd you give your ticket to that idiot? Oh, that's my brother-in-law. You know, he's an idiot. That's it. People would be talking, oh, he almost got in a fight up in here and stuff, you know, because we told him to keep quiet.
Yeah, so got a little bit of news. The pun god, Matt Ajura, what was his last name? Yeah, no, I pronounced his last name.
Araza, I think.
Araza, yeah, man. The Chiefs wind up signing him. They're going to probably lose their all-pro punter in free agency, so they signed him today. And also, his big ups to him was he had to fight for his life and his career when he was falsely accused of the R-word.
Yep. Oh, and, that guy. I forgot his name.
Yeah. Oh, from San Diego State?
Yeah, he played for Buffalo Bills. Okay.
Yep.
Man,
Chiefs gave him a new shot, gave him a new chance with them, signed him today because they was anticipating the loss of the All-Pro punter, and they're not going to have money to sign him.
Oh, I'm glad to see he got a second chance.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Because I remember we talked about him, and we was wondering would anybody ever
I thought he was a little too toxic. You know, mildly surprised. So
no, but yeah, but he came. It came out that they were lying about him.
He got fully exonerated, though.
Yeah, he got.
Sometimes people still.
Yeah.
Well, look at this, man. He could get a Super Bowl ring at some point,
and people will still think he did whatever that he was accused of. That's the bad part. Like, once you're accused of certain things, there's no changing the minds of everyone who heard the story, and a lot everybody sees the headline, no one sees the retraction, you know.
Right, so that's small minded that he's been cleared of everything.
Right,
he
yeah, because the retraction's now on the front page. It's at the end of
it's a human nature thing. It's a human nature thing for a lot of folks. So
okay, so we about to get to gosh to be more careful. So it got to be more careful. That's a basketball player by Isaiah Stewart for the Pistons. He was arrested for punching the Phoenix Suns' Drew Eubanks. So he was arrested. He actually had to go to court today, which is the 22nd of February. Everything was dropped. Charges was dropped. NBA suspended him 3 games without pay. That would cost him about $110 million.
That's too light,
I'm sorry. $110,000. I'm sorry. $110,000. And you're not the only person that said 3-game suspension is too light as well.
I got at least 10 games.
Yep. Is there no league minimum for this kind of thing?
I'm not sure.
Mandatory
minimum. I don't know. Maybe that is the mandatory minimum.
It might be the mandatory minimum.
Because I know Joe Dumars is, I know they take it case by case. So I think is this a.
Well, Dumars is the head of the Players Association. This would be a. Adam Silver thing, not a Joe Dumars thing, though. So.
Although he would fight against it if he thought it was too hard, right?
Definitely the one who was in it with, was that Joe Dumars? Let me double check, because he was in it with the suspension of Draymond Green and everything.
Yeah. Well, here's where that makes sense. If they thought that they're usually when the head of the players associate, usually when they think it's like
suspension.
Was Joe Dumars' role in excessive, that's the word.
Excessive
suspension, the players' union.
Yeah, an excessive punishment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then they'll step in.
They usually step in.
Yeah, because but in this case, I don't see where Joe Dumars would even have a role, really, so.
Yeah, the guy punched him, he punched him.
And it was on camera, there was plenty of... I heard that, Cam, while you're looking, I heard that Drew Eubanks
didn't even budge.
Didn't even budge.
It was like old boy punched the Terminator.
Yeah. Is Drew Eubanks big?
I don't know what his weight is. Yeah. Alexa, how much does Drew Eubanks weigh?
Drew Eubanks is 6 feet 10 inches tall and weighs 245 pounds.
Oh, got a little bit of heft to him, but he's not a big dude. Or maybe, oh boy, this ain't got no.
No power in his punch.
Which is kind of crazy to me, because I'm like, just the fact that you're 6'10", 6'11", you should be able to put a little more leverage behind your punch, exactly. You know? It's a physics thing. I don't know. Like,
I mean, you drop your bags and you steal off and get nothing.
Or maybe you just give him a love tap, though. Maybe you just want to wake him up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking to you, my dude. I don't know.
I'm talking.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know, but they say it was unprovoked. They say Stewart went up there unprovoked towards Eubanks, and
now I don't know what that means. I don't think he would just punch him for no reason, like it, just because it was a Wednesday. But you know,
and that's what Monty Williams was saying. Like, he don't think what happened, but whatever the prosecutors. They had to go today. They arrested that boy, though. They arrested him. They let the charges go, but the NBA did suspend him. But yeah, you're right. Right now, on the seat, Adam Silver is over there.
Yeah.
Even though Joe Dumas is
head of the
part of the NBA. Yeah. They didn't just say NBA Associated. They just said.
I think he's the head of the Players Association, Joe Dumas.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. But I clicked off of Joe Dumars' name and went to look for something else. But
you know he's with it. He was you know he's with the shiznit, like Joe Dumars. He's trying, like.
I guess he's the tamer of the bad boys. I don't know. That's a little before my time, so I don't know if he was scuffling like the rest of them, you know. But.
Oh, you know he was. Listen, I don't think this was in the.
He was a bad boy, too.
Fan. You weren't allowed to just be in the background in the 90s, so you did go on short, weren't allowed to be there.
Yeah, because I started watching basketball kind of like the end of the Bad Boys. That was like 92, 93. So by that time, the Bad Boys wasn't really the Bad Boys anymore. Like, as far as just. I mean, they were still gritty, but they just weren't. You know, attention.
They weren't that
like
good.
That. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were the bad boys, but they wasn't bad.
Yeah, I think Joe Dumars was the last one to leave. I think he played until like the mid 96 ish. He might have retired. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He played for a while.
Did you ever see that documentary? The Bad Boys documentary?
Yes. Uh huh. That was really good. Yeah.
That was really good.
Really good. Mm hmm.
Yeah, that was ever a really good documentary, by the way. That was super, super good.
Top notch.
I love that documentary. I love the documentary, by the way. Let me see. But yeah, man, I don't know what made Isaiah Stewart want to do it. He was actually kind of scheduled to kind of maybe play today, but hey, he's out again for 3 more games. So, hey.
It's okay. Jalen Duren got that.
Okay, so this is from a coach, right? St. John's coach, Patino. Said
Patino.
This,
mm-hmm.
Right. He said his team can't guard anybody. Rick Pitino said, so in the article, he talks about this is the most unathletic team I ever had. Nobody wants to play defense. Now, mind you, they started out 15-2.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think they're like 15-15 right now. They lost the last 4 games.
I didn't know St. John's.
A double digit lead.
And that's my squad, Jamaica Queens.
And man, the stuff he was saying about his players, like at the mic, and then talking about like they're unathletic, they don't play no defense, all they want to do is dribble the ball. He was like, oh man, he said so many things.
And then
about
he said, I didn't rip anybody.
Right, he said, well, these not the players I really wanted to recruit. It's my first year here, so I had to settle for these players, and now this is so
wrong in so many ways.
Now, mind you, it's only
3 players that's there before he got there, so he pretty much overturned the whole team.
Yes,
because the other players transferred. He told them that he transferred. But now he didn't want the plays. Like, he didn't have a good enough time to look at them.
Right.
They're just so bad. They foul everybody. Just the worst defensive team ever. Unathletic team ever. They don't know basketball smarts. Like, he just went in on
look,
them,
you can be like, good at what you do and not be a good person. Like, me and Buddy was actually talking about that earlier today. Like,
Right.
That's not being a good human being, to be honest with you.
It's not. It's not being a good, but Rick, but
this he's, is Rick he, but he's demoralized. He's
never been known for.
Yeah, but he's demoralizing never. The player.
Rick Pitino is not the guy that people are saying. It's he's not the one who's like the mama is like, oh my god, he came and said, right. You know, that's not Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino is,
and that's why he never could cut it in the NBA. In the back NBA. Pocket.
Like, you know, he's gonna win, and he got people off of the fact that he puts together some X's, he puts together some O's, and the dude's a winner. He's a proven winner.
That he is, yes.
He's one of the
He just breaks most of the rules to do it, but you know.
You know.
That's wild.
But yeah, college basketball coaches, can I say?
They're generally jerks. Or a lot of them are. Not to say generally, but a lot of them.
Underratedly awful. Like,
anyone ever swing at him? Any of the players ever swing at him?
Well, I know that's why he's not wanted in the NBA anymore, because his stints in Boston and New York did not go good.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, you can do that thing with an 18-year-old kid. You can't really pull that with a grown-ass man.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead and talk to Patrick Ewing any sort of way, bro. Okay. Charles Oakley.
What? You mean the money made? Patrick Ewing.
Oh,
the money... The money making Jamaican.
Felicimo.
Huh? Patrick Ewing, money making Jamaican.
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't know he was Jamaican.
Yeah, he's Jamaican. Yep. He his family went from Jamaica to Boston.
Mm-hmm. Man.
I'll
be honest with you. There were few more popular people in Mahalia F. Atchison elementary school than Patrick Ewing.
I had his run.
Is that
I had
your
his,
school?
Yeah, that's where I went to elementary.
I had his shoes.
Okay. Even
I had his shoes.
Oh, I couldn't afford it. My mom was like, I ain't paying $45-$50 for those shoes.
I bought those shoes.
I wanted them orange and white. The Adidas was the company he was contracted with. Man, I should go buy me a pair.
I was so upset. When freaking Hakeem Olajuwon, I was so souped that when Hakeem Olajuwon, he drops the freaking shoes and they're the freaking Spalding. I was like,
he wanted something everyone could afford.
I respect that as a grown man.
Right.
As a 9-year-old who didn't want to get stung on forever.
Right. that would be disheartening.
Funny. Yeah, that would have been.
Bro, I remember buying Dr. J's his shoes. I went to New York, Fulton Street, to buy Dr. Dre's.
Kids home.